This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, spring is officially here, although please someone tell the weatherman a chill in the air for at least the rest of this week. But that said, we'll take the tee, put it in the ground, and knock it down the fairway and talk Hoosier men's golf with the veteran himself, Mike Mayer, in-house with us as the spring season now in full bloom for Indiana. Hoosiers getting ready to host the Hoosier Collegiate over at Otter Creek in Columbus this weekend. Off back-to-back solid tournament efforts, a second place out at the Loyola Intercollegiate in Goodyear, Arizona in March, and then last week wins aside, a third place finish in the Hoosier invite as a redshirt freshman, Jake Brown, tied for first on the leaderboard. A relatively youthful team is Indiana U this spring with only one senior. Big Tens, though, are just around the corner later this month down at beautiful Victoria National. Indiana back in February dedicated the new training facility adjacent to the Cecil Weathers Golf Team Center, and boy, has it been a godsend to Hoosier Golf, both men and women, in this past winter. Coach Mike has added, even yoga to the team's training regimen. So lots to discuss on the Hoosier Golf Beat with Mike Mayer. And keeping with our theme tonight, the Masters in all of its spring splendor, ready for its first round action down at Augusta National Golf Club on Thursday. Practice rounds are underway, and it's become a spring ride here to analyze all of the ins and outs of Pro Golf's first major. Golf Week magazine contributing writers, we have two of them right here in Bloomington, Lance Ringler and our own Mike Lascott, with conversation, thoughts, and opinions as to what we might see starting Thursday and running through the weekend. Fairways and greens, I like to say. Golf is our theme as we welcome you to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's on a Tuesday night. Along with producers this evening, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, the veteran men's head coach himself, down, I think my math is right, season 18. It might be off a year. Mike Mayer up first on the tee tonight, and as always, my friend, great seeing you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's great being here.
Well, I tell you what, we haven't chatted since right before the Thanksgiving holiday. You were ready to take your team over to Maui back in the fall, but boy, the golf environment. Let's start there tonight. During the winter months, it has been a giant step forwards with the early February dedication of that brand-new training facility, and I know you're a proud, proud head coach.
Absolutely, Joe. It's been a long time coming. We've been working on and working and working on this new facility, and with the effort of a lot of people at IU and obviously our athletic director and his staff and some great donors, we were able to get this thing going and opened it officially, as you said, in February. And it gives us everything we need to keep practicing, keep working, keep developing, regardless of this cold weather we have right now.
Well, you know, you and I have discussed for years the evolution of the technology. We'll use that word in a broad sense, Mike, and how it's affected the game of golf at any level. We can drop down to the high school level. But that being said, I mean, this is state of the art.
No question about it. We have the latest technology. We have the latest TrackMan. It's called TrackMan 4. It's got dual radar.
That's your newest recruit, isn't it? TrackMan?
It does everything but hit the ball for you. It's like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. It will line up the ball. It will tell you where to hit it. It will tell you everything. It gives you so much data. And you know what? These new kids are very visual kids anyway. They love seeing that kind of information. This thing is you have to see it to believe it. Along with that, we have the new Sam Putt Lab. It does the same thing as TrackMan does, except for the putter. Then we have great, great video capabilities with three fixed cameras in each bay. We can literally take a picture a second. It's just amazing what we can do, and I'm growing into it and learning it. and enjoying it, and it's been, as you said, Joe, a godsend for our programs.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this track, man. It certainly has become a staple among PGA pros across the country, and from Mike, from what I haven't seen it, but from what I hear, it's a portable, no bigger than the size of a briefcase, huh?
It's about that size, Joe, and this new TrackMan 4 has dual radar, so one radar is for the golf ball. It will tell you how fast the ball is moving, how much it's spinning, the RPMs, how much side spins on the ball, exactly the trajectory, the height of the ball, how far it's going, how fast it's getting there. Then it will also tell you all about the club, where the path is coming from, what the club face position is, an impact, what the angle of attack is, what the launch angle is going up. I mean, it just gives you so much information. And TrackMan 4 will also video. And so you can get the information with TrackMan. You can get the video with TrackMan. And we've been using it all winter long. It really helps you dial in your golf club. So you know how far your 7-iron's going. You know how far your 6-iron's going. And you know how far your driver's going. You know how high it's launching. And wow, it's just been a blast.
Well, I mean, and it really certainly helps the players pinpoint their best swings, doesn't it? I mean, just right down, well, you just kind of went through it all. I mean, there wasn't anything left untouched there.
It gives you that opportunity to know exactly what is going on and exactly how far you hit a club, exactly what happens when you miss hit a club. And what we find it out is some stuff we already know.
Right.
But it's about centeredness of hit, but it's also about club head speed. And now we can find out exactly what club head speed is for each of our players and build on that. And you try to create kind of like a baseline for each club the player has. And so when you talk about a stock 6-iron, well, we know exactly what a stock 6-iron is now. You can set the thing up natural, so it's gonna whatever the wind and weather is doing, it will based on that. Or you can set it up at 77 degrees and no wind.
Well, I was just going to ask you about how helpful was it this past weekend. I know you had to curtail a round, shortened the invitational this weekend to just two rounds because of the wind. Have you ever seen, and I talked to a lot of guys on the coaches on the high school level, they had never seen a more windier day. How bad was it out, and how bad was it out of the Champ Course?
Well, you said exactly right. I've been here 28 years, Joe. I don't think I've seen, number one, a wind consistently from that direction. It came from on the golf course. We were getting it primarily from the south-southwest, and it was coming from that direction consistently, 25 to 30 mile an hour all day long with 40 mile an hour gusts. It never slacked up. It was the most consistently hard, demanding wind I've ever seen. I have never seen anything like it.
Well, that being said, and knowing what the forecast was going to be before the teams got there, and you got the first round underway, Mike, and it was windy all of last week, and it gradually picked up. What did TrackMan tell you, and how was it an aid with reference to hitting it in the wind?
Well, what TrackMan, one thing it tells you is that wind has a dramatic impact on the golf ball, not per se the cold or the heat. That has a slight impact on the golf ball, but wind has a dramatic impact on the golf ball. Now, it was tough to predict this 30-mile-an-hour and 40-mile-an-hour gust, but obviously it helped us. It's common sense a little bit, Joe. We take more club into the wind, but we don't swing as hard. If you swing harder, the ball is going to spin up in the air, and the wind's going to impact it even more. If you swing easier and flight that ball down a little bit, you'll be able to flight it down through the wind a little bit.
You know, talking about the track, man, do all of the Big Ten teams have them, the teams you have come across since you got it?
Yeah, most do. This is the brand-new unit. I don't think very few teams have this new unit that has this dual radar. But, yeah, it's been pretty common. We've had a version of TrackMan, not really TrackMan, called FlightScope.
Right.
It didn't quite give us as much data as TrackMan, but It's been a big help for our program.
Well, I was just going to ask you, I mean, let's just compare. This is, early April. Let's go back to early April of last year when you didn't have that particular piece of apparatus. How far are you ahead from where you were a year ago?
We're leaps and bounds. I mean, leaps and bounds ahead. There's no question about that. Obviously, we don't have the advantage of the Southern schools in the wintertime.
Sure.
We can't keep playing golf in the kind of conditions we need to play golf in. So with this new indoor facility, we're still able to hit golf balls. We're still able to see them fly. We're still able to get that feedback that we need that's impossible to get when you're hitting into a net and keep working and developing. And I think that's what we've been able to do, Joe.
Well, you
keep
know,
working and developing and getting better and better and better.
And it really fits the kind of player you have. I mean, we are in the high-tech world. Let's face it, everything out there, social media and what have you. And really, I mean, these kids are more in tune with, this kind of instant information, are they not?
No question. I like to say they're very visual. They want to see it. Our good friend Jeff Overton played a lot by feel. I don't think he didn't really particularly like video, and he didn't really need the numbers, because he could feel his way around any golf course. These new players are much more technologically inclined. They're much more visual. They want to see those numbers. They want to know those numbers. They want to see the video. They want to know what the video is telling them. And, that feedback is really, really helpful and productive.
Well, I tell you, that's where we are as we move through the 2016 season. And as you heard Coach Mike tell you, leaps and bounds where the program is right now. And you could tell it by the performance out on the course. We mentioned right at the top, Indiana playing some sound golf right now with the second and third in its last two tournaments and hosting another one at Otter Creek this weekend in Columbus. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation, because there is something else that the men's golf program is seeing benefits of, and that's yoga. And I want Mike to maybe talk me into taking my first exercise on the old mat. We'll do that and talk more Indiana golf when we come back. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk tonight, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Golf Conversation 9, a little bit later, Golf Week Magazine contributing writers Lance Ringler and Mike Lascott, as we will catch you up on what's been going on this week. We're only 2 days into Masters Week, the first major of the PGA season, but enjoying our conversation with Mike Mayer, the veteran Hoosier men's golf coach, talking a little about the brand new golf facility and a little about TrackMan. He'll never lose his eligibility or it because it could be very well. It is a female over on the other side because Clint Wallman is loving it as well. But tell me, Mike, a little about yoga. I know you are into it. Your wife, Kim, is into it, and it has become, and this is not some stunt. I mean, a lot of programs are gone to this. Talk to me a little about how it originated, how it's going, and how the guys like it.
Well, it did originate from my wife, Kim, and Kim is very much into yoga. She is really involved with yoga. And I saw the benefits. We were talking about what it was doing for her physically and mentally. And she encouraged me to look into it and encouraged me to look for the right instructor, which was her instructor, a lady by the name of Sam Eibling. And we were lucky enough to get Sam, and she works at Vibe Yoga. And this year, from the first day of school till the end of school, we'll do 2 days a week of yoga. We do hot yoga on Tuesday morning. This morning at 7:30 we did it. Then we'll do normal yoga, cold yoga, some people call it, Thursday afternoon. Okay. So 2 days a week of yoga. We haven't missed a session.
When did you start?
We started in the fall, the first week of school.
Okay.
So 2 days a week, all season long. Yoga is a very physical, but yet extremely mental, and we love it for both aspects there. And Sam knows golf. Her husband Doug, who works for Kelley School of Business, has been involved with golf his entire life, and she relates a lot of the yoga stuff to golf, and a lot of the moves, a lot of the discipline. it relates very, very close to the golf. The kids love it. Our student athletes really enjoy it. It's demanding, yet very rewarding, very soothing. Mentally, it's just the perfect complement to our sport.
Wow. Now, how long are these sessions? Like you went today, how long is it?
1 hour.
1 hour.
1 hour of hot yoga is about enough.
Okay, is that like sitting in a hot box in a sauna?
It's working in a hot box. It's doing these holds and all these moves and all in a very hot room, and the sweat is pouring out of you. But when you're done, you're as loose as you can be, and you're ready to swing the golf club.
Well, you could do one of two things, as Mike mentioned. You control yourself, calm yourself, like you say, it's been a win-win. But, you know, we pull up this stat. 36 million Americans have taken up yoga regularly this year. We're only into April. That's up over 80% since 2012. That, according to a newly released 2016 Yoga in America study conducted by Yoga Journal and Yoga Alliance. Just over a quarter of those active participants are male, many of which are athletes. I know the basketball team has been in and out of there as well, and for all sports. I mean,
I can't imagine a better physical and mental exercise to do than yoga, and I suspect I will do it the rest of my life.
Well,
and I suspect my teams will do it the rest of my career.
You're hooked on it, and you might see me drop in. I got to get the woman's name. I think, what's her name again that's your instructor?
Sam Eibling at Vibe Yoga.
At Vibe Yoga. That's up on North College. Well, you know, you're seeing, we talked about TrackMan, how you've made leaps and bounds in just a year with new apparatus. You just talked a little about the mental and the physical, and the mental is to the physical as 4:1, as a former head coach at Indiana used to tell me. Talk about this team and how yoga has incorporated itself. If it helps with the mental, it's got to help. And I'm looking at a nice drop here, Mike, in scores by a number of your players.
Yeah, I really think this team's really developed with the help of yoga and the help of our strength conditioning program and the help of all the resources we have at Indiana University. I really think one thing yoga has done is helped us figure out how to breathe correctly and when to breathe correctly. And then when we're playing a sport we play or any other sport, it's important to breathe. And I really think this team is – I was hoping we could get better. I knew we could get better, and we're really developing into the kind of team I want. We have a long way to go, Joe, a long way to go, but we're on that road. And as a coach, it's enjoyable to see student-athletes get better, and this team is getting better.
Well, you're seeing that. Jake Brown, Brendan Doyle, Andrew Havel, I mean, they're all averaging right now below 75 strokes. Last year, you only had one person that was below 75. So you're seeing it as they mark their scores individually as the holes go by, huh?
No question, and I think we're playing more difficult golf courses. You bring up Jake Brown, and I got to talk about Jake a little bit, because in Phoenix at the Loyola event, he finished second at that event, but what was really special is his final round 62, 10 under par 62. As I told you earlier, their second best score in IU history, second only to Jeff Overton, 61 at the Oasis Club in Cincinnati. But what really made that special for me, I was not walking with Jake. I was behind him, and the last hole at Palm Valley, there in Goodyear, Arizona, is a par 5, about 570 yards. Water all the way up the left, water short, water long. And Jake's 9 under par going down this hole. Normally when you're 9 under par in the last hole, you just want to kick that ball around, get it in, and leave. And I see him on the green with about a 15-foot putt, and he missed the putt, just barely lipped out. And I walk up to him afterwards and said, wow, great round, 9 under par. I said, no, coach, 10 under par. That was for eagle there. To have the courage to knock that ball on the green over water where is just tremendous. And this kid has a lot of moxie, a lot of courage, and that's what it takes to to shoot 62. It's not an easy thing to do.
You know, he's out of Carmel High School where you recruited him, and he is a redshirt freshman. So you've seen the benefits then of what a redshirt year can do. We talked to it with all head coaches, you know, different sports, different strokes for different folks. But that being said, it looks like the extra year now is really developed him with his game and with the mental and physical.
No question about that. He needed that year. He was not ready to compete at the level we needed to compete at. But that year really, really helped him develop, and he's turning into a great player. Obviously, he tied for medalist honors last week at our Hoosier Invitational and played really, really solid there in some very, very trying conditions.
Well, we talked about the other two that are sub-75 strokes per round right now, one of them being another youngster out of Louisville. You went down in the St. Xavier territory down in Louisville, Mike, to recruit Brendan Doyle, who is coming into form, as we mentioned, one of your veterans, really, and he's an underclassman out of Carmel, junior Andrew Havel.
Yeah, Brendan Doyle has as much talent as anybody I've had on my team in a number of years.
Wow.
He is extremely talented. He has some things to learn. Mentally, he has to get much stronger. Physically, he has to get in a little bit better shape. But as far as a golf swing and his ability to hit a golf ball, it's second to none. Andrew Havel is a junior but yet a veteran. And a little bit like Brendan, he has all the tools. He will impress you if you watch him hit a golf ball. Mentally, he's got to get stronger. And once again, I think yoga is helping both these athletes get better, stronger mentally. And in this game, you better be strong mentally or you're going to get beat up.
Well, you know, you played the champ course, and again, you had two teams, your B team. And talk a little about some of the youngsters, some of the guys that are starting to, get it. By that, I mean have the discipline, the way you teach it, Mike, to play the collegiate game. Talk a little about the balance of your squad and some guys that are coming and are on the verge of maybe breaking through.
Well, our freshman is a young man from Waterloo, Canada, Trevor Ranton. Trevor, it's a tough transition coming in as a freshman. And some people get it fairly quickly. Some people it takes time, and Trevor is now starting to get it. So we're seeing better and better results from him. Another redshirt freshman, Jack Sparrow, a lefty from Floyd Knobs. And Jack's going to be a nice, nice player for us. He needed that year like Jake did to really get himself set. And he wants to play. He wants to play in the worst way. Our sophomore, Christian Fairbanks from Columbus, we're going to his hometown next week.
Right.
He's got all the tools. Talk about impressive, watching him on track, man. This kid is impressive hitting the golf ball. 120 mile an hour swing speed, hitting at 310, 320 yard drives. It's just something that just wows you when you watch him. So they're some of our up and comers. And we mentioned Brendan and Andrew. Keegan Villa, another junior. It's got a world of talent. And Max Collin, our senior. Max is right now our five guy, but we're really counting on Max down the stretch to take his senior leadership and take all his experience and help this team get ready for Big Ten.
Well, you're talking now about the Otter Creek Hoosier Collegiate coming up this weekend over at that tough Otter Creek course. But that being said, you're not going to leave the state of Indiana now from this point in time, clear through the Big Tens, which once again will be held down in what used to be an old quarry pit and now is one of the most beautiful golf courses in the maybe in the country, Victoria National.
And one of the most difficult golf courses maybe in the country. And you're right, we're at Otter Creek next week, a wonderful Robert Trent Jones golf course. Just a delightful facility is Otter Creek in Columbus. I recommend it highly. Then we go up to that place we don't like to name very often.
No.
We'll name it. We're up at the Camping Course in West Lafayette. And it's a Pete Dye golf course, a fine golf course. A golf course that I think really helps us prepare for Big Ten, which, as you mentioned, Joe, is the following week at Victoria National, and the quarry pits is Southern Indiana, where if you hit a ball a little crooked, you're not going to find it.
No, you won't. And I've known a number of guys that have used various adjectives to describe Victoria National, in addition to long, tough, and beautiful. The Hoosier Collegiate at Otter Creek, as it's called these days, coming up this weekend, right?
This coming weekend, yes.
So, well, it's going to stay chilly, but it's going to, maybe the winds are not going to blow as much. What are you expecting in the Big Tens as we peek ahead to the end of the month before we let you go?
Illinois is a team to beat. There's no question about that. They're number one, number two, depending on what ranking you look at, and they're extremely, extremely talented and extremely deep. Besides that, I think it's pretty open. Purdue's had a great year, as has Penn State. We beat Penn State in the Big Ten match play championship earlier this spring. Those two teams could possibly challenge Illinois, but I think besides that, it's a wide-open race, and, you know, that golf course is going to be tough. I think the best teams are going to have to be able to handle adversity. They're going to have to be accept some things. That golf course just doesn't give you a lot, so you have to go out there and take what it gives you, and no more than that. If you try to take more than what it wants you to take, it will just eat you up. So,
well, with the personnel that you got and going on into the month of April, A, B, and C it for me, priorities that need to be accomplished between now and Big Ten tourney time.
Our short game's got to get a little better, and that's one thing we haven't had a lot of time to work on, truthfully. And we're really making that a point of emphasis right now. We got to putt a little better. We got to limit the mistakes on the greens and around the greens. I think it all builds from short game. If your short game is good, it makes everything else a little easier. And I think right now we're putting too much pressure on our short game. So we're going to focus on that. We're going to continue to focus on the mental part of the game. Continue to work with yoga and all our resources to get ready to go play. We have a saying, you can't play this game with fear. You can't be afraid to make a mistake. You got to have belief and confidence, and if you do that, you'll be successful.
Well, as I always say to you, fairways and greens to you and the rest of the Hoosiers the rest of the spring, and good luck with the yoga, good luck with that new recruit you brought on board, TrackMan, and everything associated with IU Golf, Mike.
Thank you, Joe. I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to talk with you this evening.
You got a winner for the Masters? Real quick, before we talk to the
gurus. I like
gurus.
Dustin Johnson.
All right, Dustin Johnson. He was a putt or two away from winning last week. Well, we'll talk to the men in the know, not that you don't know, but you got your pick, and we'll get some rather pointed conversation coming up with Golf Week magazine contributing writers Mike Glasscott, Lance Ringler. When we come back, we'll preview the Masters. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, just met Sam Eibling, the yoga instructor for IU Golf and a couple of other Indiana U sports teams. And the yoga instructor is in Yogi's here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Joining us, a couple of my friends that currently contribute and write awfully well about the game of professional golf and collegiate golf, Lance Ringler and Mike Glasscott. And it's hard to believe this Augusta National Golf Club was once a former tree nursery, and now, Lance, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and it's time to tee it up Thursday. Just talk a little about the Masters and why so many people, golfers and non-golfers alike, are attracted to it.
Well, Joe, the reason is pretty simple. It's so exclusive, and that it makes it what it is. I mean, not everybody can play it. Not every pro can get in a tournament there. Well, there's only one tournament. So it's the exclusiveness that makes it so special. And then the way it was brought to the public years and years ago, where, you know, they only showed the back nine forever, and you know, there's just so many things about it from a marketing standpoint that made it people want more and more and more and more, and so it's now it's turned into, it's just such a, you know, once a year, and it's the same spot, people are so familiar with it, yet they, you know, so many people have never been there, and it's just the exclusiveness of it, Joe.
Well, I tell you what, talking about a guy that turned the place upside down, and that was a year ago when he was, 21 at the time, and that is Jordan Spieth, who opened up things, electrified the entire world, shooting a 64 at a course that he hadn't played that often, obviously.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, it's the one place, too, where these guys talk about, they get nervous. I mean, they don't, you know, they play so much golf all around the world in such big tournaments, but they talk about this is the one spot that they actually get butterflies. They actually get nervous, you know, more so than any other place. And, you know, Jordan, for example, you know, just he was on such a run last year, and this kind of got things going for him a little bit. And, you know, just a great player. But, you know, there's so many guys now that are so good, and, you know, that's what makes it so neat to watch. And it's a course that lends itself to great, great theater.
Well, no question about it. Lance Ringler joining us along with our own Mike Glasscott. And Glass, you know, we talk a little about Jordan Spieth. You know, he set those scoring records for 36 holes, 54 holes, but how about those 28 birdies, the most at any Masters up until he toured the facility?
Most ever. And the interesting part is the Masters is a course that you gentlemen know that you've got to play to have experience and know that every putt breaks to Rae's Creek, and you've got uneven lies and the wind swirls at 12. Well, all Spieth did the first time he played it was he led after 54 holes.
Yeah.
Then he goes the next year, breaks to 36, breaks to 54, has been the only guy to get to 19 before he bogeys 18 last year to tie Tiger Woods' tournament record. Not bad, Joe, for eight rounds on that course. And he's a special talent because you can't hide there. We've seen great players go through that course, and Martin Keimer can't break six, he can't break 70 on that course. And Martin Keimer's won everything. Players championships. He's won the U.S. Open. He's won everything in Europe. Some guys can't play that course, and for Spieth to do that in his first two tries is truly unbelievable. And I think that luster, you can't fake it there. That showed the whole world that, oh, great, he won the John Deere. No. You win Augusta, you get second at Augusta your first try. That's legitimate business.
Well, 18 of this year's entrants making their Masters debuts. Let's talk, guys, about some storylines that you're – want to see or have heard or is necessary to slip that green jacket on come Sunday.
Lance, I think the biggest one is this is probably what golf felt like in the mid-70s, Joe. Help us out. When you had Nicklaus, Palmer, Watson, Miller, Weiss, you can just make a list of 15 guys this year, and if I told you any one of them would win, you'd say, well, yeah, I could see that. And that's fantastic because, Lance, we hear in our business all the time, is it the big three? Is it the big four? Heck, it's the big dozen this week, which is a legitimate argument. There are that many guys who could win this golf tournament.
Yeah, you probably could even go past a dozen.
I mean,
right now, there's some guys that are playing really, really well. You know, you had, you know, Adam Scott on the roll, you know.
Schwartzel's won three times.
There's some guys playing well, and then there's some guys that are right behind those guys. But – you know, then you fall into other categories where you dip down to the Brooks Koepkas of the world who have the attitude, the game, and all that. There's just so many guys, and that's a great point. I do remember watching golf a lot in the 80s, and you couldn't pick a winner. It was 50, 60 guys every week. Somebody would come out, and I remember specifically watching one time Nick Price won back-to-back, and everybody's like, wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, Faldo in 89-90. Yeah. Right. Only the third player to do it.
I mean consecutive weeks on tour.
Oh,
where
on
a guy
tour.
Went back-to-back,
oh,
and everybody's like, that never happens. And nowadays, you don't really blink an eye. But, you know, talking about storylines this week, you start right with Jim Herman. You know, what will he do?
Story.
You know, what will he do there? And then, obviously, the storyline that I'm watching is what Bryson DeChambeau is going to do. You know, the golf scientist, the guy that, yep. I mean, now this course may be a little bit much for his brain right out of the gate.
Well, tell people who DeChambeau is because I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau, you know, the reigning NCAA champion, U.S. amateur champion. He is what we call out, you know, in golf, we call him the golf scientist. He dissects the game in such a way that I don't know if anyone's ever done it, you know, other than like Mo Norman, the Canadian who used to, you know, stripe the ball down the middle every time. Bryson plays with the same length club. He even soaks his balls in certain types of water with salts to see if they're all perfectly balanced and circular.
A fanatic.
He is, but he's good. He's backed that up. I mean, if he did that stuff and wasn't any good,
he'd just be quirky.
He would be weird.
Well, he's made his last six cuts as a pro.
Yes.
So you're right. He's backing it up. And in these events he's played in have been all over the world. They haven't been, quote-unquote, pro events just because they give out a paycheck. These have been big-time events.
And so he'll be comfortable out there. And for people listening, don't be surprised to see his name, you know, Bryson DeChambeau.
Would you be surprised if he wasn't a top amateur?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd be surprised.
I'd be shocked.
I'd be shocked.
He wasn't. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
I think. I'm
thinking top 20, top 25 is not anywhere near.
So advantage or disadvantage? Say to Herman. I mean, it has to be an advantage because first of all, he hadn't won. He wouldn't have been at Augusta this week.
True. The thing for Jim Herman, I mean, obviously he's a good player. I mean, we got him in our Golf Week Sagarin rankings. We got him in our top 75 right now. So
okay.
you don't get there by not playing good. It's not like he just was out of nowhere. You know, the first nine holes he plays on Thursday is going to be important. If he gets off to a good start with the run he's been on, and you know, and that kind of, you know, it's contagious. So we'll see.
And the good thing for Hermie is it's the top 50 and it's a field of 89. So making the cut isn't hugely difficult if you keep your ball in play. Herman's a great ball striker, Joe. If his putter gets hot, he can get it rolling. But the interesting thing about Herman will be win on Sunday, figure out where you're going to stay on Monday, how you're going to get tickets on Tuesday for everybody that's there, all the other things that surround it hopefully doesn't take away from the golf. But guess who's going to hit the first tee shot on Thursday morning? Jim Herman's first group out. How about that for a cool story?
Jim also, he's from Cincinnati.
Yep.
And St. Xavier Prep, the reigning high school state champions in Ohio, he sent them all practice, or sent a note, got them all practice round tickets. So the team was driving down tonight after school to go.
Maybe
to practice
Trump will fly him down.
Mike Glasscott and Lance Ringler, contributing writers for Golf Week magazine, joining us conversation as we look ahead to the rest of the week. The practice rounds, guys, have been going on. Anything catch your eye, Glass?
Anything that catches your eye at this time, Joe, will be guys that aren't feeling well. Bubba was under the weather, had some sinus issues. Some people argue that's a good thing because he won't go out and grind. He'll be fresh if he gets into something on the weekend. But right now, these guys are having fun. Mickelson and the gang were out this morning with DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson. Back to your point about DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson heard him and Phil talking about putting, and Dustin said, if I keep listening to this, I'm going to shoot 100 tomorrow. I'm out of here, boys. So you talk about the golf scientist and any of that. But the storyline here that gets lost in all this shuffle, and I wrote about this today at Golf Week, Rory McIlroy wins this week. It's the career Grand Slam. Has anyone talked about that in the last 48 hours? The big three, this guy's won, this guy's won. And here's McIlroy just kind of hanging out, having a good time. The career Grand Slam is not an easy thing to accomplish.
Well, let me ask you this, though. His putting has been suspect, if that's fair.
I think
will that prevent him?
Hit it closer, Lance. Right? McIlroy, you saw him. He threw darts.
I mean, is that going to be the difference between he slipping on the green jacket and not?
Well, I think Rory just has some demons in the closet at Augusta. I mean, what he did, what, in 2010 or 11? What year was it he had the big lead? I just think it's one of those places for him. He's just got to get it all together. And we all know that if he has his best game,
unbeatable,
he's probably by far the best player in the world when he's on his game.
Well, there hasn't been too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just so. But, you know, like, there's so many stories. We haven't even mentioned Phil Mickelson leading the tour this year in scoring average. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if Phil Mickelson won this week. I mean, there's so many guys this week that could do something. It's going to be a fun week. It really is.
Well, here's a guy that's tinkered all his life. We can go and maybe list three, Vijay Singh, Patrick Harrington, and we'll throw Mickelson in. But let's talk about and stay right there with putting at Glass. And, you know, is Phil not, is he locked in now to a single putting style that helps him now more?
No, and that's why Phil's great. Because Phil doesn't sit there and bang his head against the wall until the wall falls over. If it's not working, Phil's going to change it. Left hand low for this, claw grip for that, pencil grip here. Whatever gets him in the hole, he's going to use. And as Lance mentioned, he's leading the tour in scoring, and you can't make that up. That's not a feel statistic.
No.
He is doing that. Here's why you like Mickelson. He's got, what, 11 top fives, 15 top tens, has won three green jackets, and he hits the ball a mile. 40 whatever, five or however old he is, doesn't matter with Phil. Because he gets the ball down the fairway, he's played there, he knows every break on the course. He's got the second best caddy behind probably Steve Williams on the property. And if Phil can avoid the triple bogey that seems to find him every Saturday or Sunday, he can't give this field that three-shot cushion. There's too many good players. If he stays dialed in, Joe, remember, ball strikers on this course will have more birdie opportunities. You find fairways and you find greens. You don't have to putt lights out. You have to putt solidly. There's a difference.
There's a thing that goes on. I don't know. It's like a light bulb going on with Mickelson when he just arrives and strolls down Magnolia Lane, though.
Yeah, he's
I mean, that's almost a rite of spring.
They haven't changed the course since 2001. He's got all the
like the Masters
down.
Is.
Yeah, he's experienced. He's knowledgeable. He's won there. He's playing well. Like I said, he's got, in my mind, he's got to be considered a favorite this week.
Well, both guys, and address this, if you will, last night, all three of us witnessed one of the greatest college basketball games ever played, specifically with what was on the line. Can this Masters perhaps go down as one of the greatest ever? Because Spieth came out, shot that early round 64. What did he win by, four shots last year over Mickelson and Rose?
Yeah, he could. It just all depends on how. If the leaderboard is bunched up on Sunday, that's when we see the fireworks there. You know, it's you know, when that happens, you know, there's a lot of eagles that could be made. There's doubles and triples up just about any time you take the club back. So, yeah, we could. And you know, with the field this year, I mean, unless somebody, you know, decides to run away and hide a little bit, yeah, we could be in for a good one.
The only way anybody's going to run and hide, Joe, is if there's a weather problem on Thursday and somebody hits the right side of the draw and goes 65-66 and gets out in front. And then if the wind picks up on the weekend where par's a good score and they're already out three or four. But there's too many good players. Lance has nailed it. Faldo comes back from seven shots against Greg Norman. Greg Norman. Norman was killing it at the time. Nobody thought that would ever happen. But the theater, the opportunity is a key word. This back nine, this tournament on Sunday, gives an opportunity to players to execute shots in the most pressure situations, whether it's a 6-iron from 210 through the trees to 8 feet or 6 feet like Mickelson did.
All right.
Charles Schwartzel made four birdies in a row coming home, 15, 16, 17, 18. Phil birdied the last to win his first jacket. There's that opportunity there. That's why people tune in. U.S. Open, par, survival. You survive the U.S. Open. The British Open, you survive the wind and the weather. The PGA, depending on where the course is and how it's played, you got to hit it a mile, and you got to hope you hit it farther than the other guy. The Masters, you have to take by the scruff of the neck and go win the golf tournament. That's why everybody loves it.
That being said, and I know your angle with Golf Week magazine glass is handling the fantasy aspect of it for readers that subscribe to the magazine, pick it up weekly. A dark horse and your top two contenders.
Top two contenders. I'll bring it out to top 20 contenders. But if you look at the guys there, what's a dark horse? Somebody outside the top 50, I think, is fair. You look at a guy like Chris Kirk.
How many can win it? Could you throw 25 names in a hat?
Lance, you can pull them out. You'd be happy for a lot of them. I don't think Adam Scott has to be dismissed. He's won. Jason Day's won twice. Bubba's won and finished second. You have so many guys playing well. There's not that favorite that jumps off the page. There's value in fantasy golf, and there's favorites in fantasy golf. If you need a guy in the 8 to 16 range, you're going to get almost as good a guy in the 1 to 8 range, and there's not many events you can talk about that because of the course history, because of making birdies and all of that. Englishmen don't win here. Nick Faldo was the last one in 96. Europeans don't win here. 99, Olafabel was the last one. They haven't won in 17 years. If you want to get into the numbers game, the number one player in the world hasn't won since Tiger Woods was number one. So Jason Day has that burden to carry. Bubba, if he wins, it'll be the third time he wins, and he'll join a group of, I think, seven other guys. Yeah. So you're getting into really deep clover there, which opens up the door for Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, some of those guys that maybe you don't pay attention to, Lance, all the time, but are every week, every time they tee it up, are in the top ten.
Yeah.
What's it look like numbers-wise? Well, how scrambled is it on your sheet?
It's very scrambled. I mean, like you said,
it's a good scramble. It's,
I mean, there's when you turn on that leaderboard Thursday and then even Friday morning, I mean, you're not really going to be that surprised of 50, 60 names that could be up anywhere near the lead. Guys, though, I mean, if you're asking me a couple of guys that I really like this week, I like Phil. Just for the reasons we talked about, I like Zach Johnson. No one's talked about him. I just like Zach's game, his demeanor, his patience. He's obviously played well here before. He knows how to play in big events. And the thing about Zach is no one talks about him. He can just float along and do his thing. And I talked to Patrick Reed's coach today, Josh Gregory. And if you look at what Patrick Reed's current form is in the wraparound season, Mike, it's good.
Seven top tens, most on tour.
I've always said this, and you guys know this. We've been talking about this for years. Once he gets a couple wins and gets going, he's going to really, really fly, I think. And you know, he said he's playing well. And I look, if you're looking for a dark horse, I don't know if you can call him a dark horse. He's ranked 10th in the world.
That's the point.
That's the point. Yeah.
Or how deep do you have to go?
Plus, you know, so I don't know. But I, like I said, you know, I like Zach Johnson. I like Phil Mickelson this week.
You know what? Throw in Oosthuizen too, because he took a big dive last week.
Yep.
But he had hit every green on planet Earth.
Yeah.
The three tournaments prior to that, and he's proven he's lost in a playoff there. He's put up some really good scores there. So it's, I have a harder time finding guys where I'll say, nah, he doesn't have a chance. Mark Leishman, that guy could shoot. He could be 13 under Saturday afternoon, or he could be 32 over. And it's just great to see all those guys pop out there. But the great news about Augusta is, even if the weather's poor, there's still going to be birdies to be made. The course is not going to go 270 this year. There's no way they will let that happen. Look for 13 under, 12 under to win. What do you think? What's your winning score?
You know, well, most likely.
Yeah.
In that 12th, but
because
these guys,
Spieth torched the place.
But these guys are so good nowadays, and if you get one guy that gets dialed in, he could get that 15, 16 range.
Rains a little bit. Greens get soft. Look out.
9, 10, 11.
All right. So, as always, love your conversation, your opinions. Lance Ringler, Mike Lascott of Golf Week magazine. So pick a winner and, you know, join in the fray. It's the first major of 2016. Augusta in all of its splendor, opening up Thursday morning with the first round. Guys, fairways and greens to you. Mike Mayer's taken, he likes Dustin Johnson, Zach Johnson, Glass.
Dustin Johnson led the field in putting last week. That's an omen. And he was in the top 10 in putting last year. Hits it a mile, Joe. I'm going with Rory McIlroy. He's being ignored, and he shouldn't be. He hits the ball too well. He can land the ball in the fairway where he needs to. He can find those spots on the greens. And if his putter has an okay week, not a great week, he'll win the Masters comfortably.
Smitty will pick his tomorrow sometime in private. That's what I know about the game of golf. Guys, as always, thanks for joining us. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. That'll about do it for this week. Our thanks again to Mike Mayer, the veteran head coach of the Hoosiers. Over to Otter Creek they go for the Hoosier Intercollegiate over in Bartholomew County. Mike Lascott, Lance Ringler of Golf Week magazine. Masters right here on the big screen starting Thursday right here at Yogi's. Our employee of the week at Shortstop Food Mart, Barbecue Train, Seth Sandera. For Will Boatman, our producer, don't forget Reds baseball tomorrow against the Phils at 7 in the zone. David Glass, your phone calls at 6. Have a great weekend, everybody, as you've been listening to Sports Talk live from Yogi's on News Talk 96.1 at AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone.